Good morning. I think we've calculated out exactly half of Homefront slept in this morning. So congratulations to you guys for not sleeping in. That's awesome. All right. So we're on week three of our series, Meeting of the Waters, the Journey to Marriage Oneness. And if you've not been or you haven't been keeping up with the audio online, basically what we've been doing is kind of using the Meeting of the Waters in the Amazon as a metaphor for our marriage, our journey to oneness in marriage. And so for those of you who don't know, there's a place called the Meeting of the Waters where two different rivers come together to form the Amazon River. And when they come together, one of those rivers is sort of narrow and fast-moving and cold. The other one is sort of wide and slow-moving and warm, and their pH is different. And because of all those differences in the waters, when they come together, although at that point they are the Amazon River, they don't actually mix for many, many miles and many twists and turns along the river way to get them churned up, and eventually those two rivers become one river. And so we've been using that as a metaphor to say, you know, on the day that we stood in front of the church, in front of God and His people, and the pastor said, "I now declare you husband and wife, man and wife," at that point, in God's eyes, in the world's eyes, now you are one. But at the same time, as we saw in Genesis 2:24, we are becoming one. So it's a journey, and that's sort of what we've been using as our metaphor. Oh, I put this picture and forgot to tell you about it. So last night, we're the Sterling crew. Last night, Sterling potluck, awesome time. I tried to take the picture. Everyone was looking. The first one, everyone looked, and I pressed the button, but nothing happened. And then I did it again, and no one was looking anymore. So it's just me and Giancarlo looking, maybe a couple other people. Anyway, it's a really good time. So there's the Meeting of the Waters. There's our picture. So the first week, what we said when we looked at Genesis 2:24 is that God's desire and intention for our marriage is oneness. That's God's plan. And even though we can't necessarily always see what He's doing or understand what He's doing in the moment, if we were able to zoom out and look at God's big picture, we would see that God's design and desire for us in the long term is oneness. So that was our first sort of big takeaway. And then last week we talked about how God prepares us individually for this oneness by making us, transforming us into the image of Christ. Our transformation individually into Christ-likeness plays a huge role in our oneness as a couple. And it's almost impossible to become one unless we are both simultaneously becoming like Christ. And so our big takeaway last week was how do we become like Christ? What is the mechanisms that God uses? And we said that it was abide, behold, and be transformed together. And so abiding in Christ, beholding His glory, and in doing so, God is being faithful to transform us more and more into the image of Christ. And when we do that together, it just amps that up even more. We're able to find ways to abide and behold together as a couple. So, this week, we're moving on and get into some more specifics. I found this very interesting as I was getting ready for today, that you can basically sum up the entire counsel of Scripture regarding marriage in just a few short little things. And I'll go through. First of all, husbands, love your wife and live with her in understanding. So that's one. Wives, submit to and respect your husband's leadership. That's number two. Husbands and wives, don't withhold sex from each other unless it's so that you can dedicate yourselves to prayer. Ladies, this is not a call to prayer, okay? No, we need to be praying more, sweetie. Motives are everything. Okay. And don't withhold sex from one another. The other one is your relationship as a married couple is ultimately important because it reflects Christ's relationship to the church. That's it. If you go back through and specifically talking about marriage, says, husbands, love your wives, live with them in understanding. Wives, respect your husband's leadership. Don't withhold sex from each other. Your marriage reflects Christ's relationship with the church. Why so little? Why do we have so little about a relationship that is apparently so important within the church? And I wouldn't ask the question if I didn't think I had the answer, because that would be just a dumb thing to do. So I want us to look at two verses, and I think these two verses will begin to give us a clue. The first one is from one of my favorite books of the Bible, Song of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 10. And it says this, Solomon speaking to his bride, "How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much better is your love than wine, and the fragrance of your oils than all kinds of spices. How beautiful is your love, my sister, my bride." When the first time I read that, I thought, that's an odd turn of phrase. My sister, my bride. Kind of odd. But if you put that together with something that Jesus said in Mark 12:25, when he was being asked about marriage in relation to the resurrection, he said, "For when they rise from the dead, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." Now, when you put those two things together, I think you find out what the deal is with the reason that we have such a small amount of information specifically targeted at the marriage relationship. And the reason is that the marriage relationship, as important as it is temporal. It's a relationship that exists within time and space right now. There is another relationship that is eternal. We are eternally brother and sister in Christ. We are now eternally God's children. That is a relationship that never will end. And it's much more basic and more foundational even than our marriage relationship. Now, what does that do for us in regard to Scripture and our marriage? It takes what was a very small amount of information about marriage and kind of blows it out and makes a ton of Scripture available to us. And it doesn't take a brain surgeon to begin to figure out how God's commands in Scripture can be applied to marriage. So that's what we're going to do this morning. We're going to talk about how can God's commands in Scripture apply to this mixing of our waters, this blending of these two very different waters together into something we call oneness in marriage. And yeah, I'll put that picture up there. So what we're going to do is, this is where we get to do some audience participation, which is why I have this great whiteboard in front of me. What I want to do is I want to look at some of the one another's of Scripture. So I'm going to write up one another up here, and then you guys are going to help me out and just shout out some of the one another's in the Bible. Encourage one another. See how fast I can write. Keep going. Okay, someone said love. Someone said be kind. Forgive my handwriting, because it's going to be really bad. Forgive. Build up. All right, build up. Bear burdens. Good. Keep coming. There's more. Ooh. Yep, okay. Ooh. All right. Any more? Pray for one another, yes. Respect. Anything else? Serve. All right, I'm just going to read off the list that I found in preparing for this. It's just going through and kind of pulling out the ones that just, and I'm sure there's more. But here we go. Love one another. Pray for one another. Seek the welfare of one another. Be gentle with one another. Correct one another in love. Serve one another. Forgive one another. Encourage one another. Bear one another's burdens. Bear with one another's weaknesses. Weep with one another. Rejoice with one another. Be at peace with one another. Be patient with one another. Don't complain against one another. Confess sins to one another. Be devoted to one another. Regard one another as more important than yourselves. Don't judge one another. Speak the truth in love to one another. Don't lie to one another. Tolerate one another in love and patience. Outdo one another in showing honor. Restore one another gently. And like I said, I think there's more. We got most of them up here that I read out. How do we sum this up? There's a lot of counsel in Scripture here. How do we sum all of that up? One of the things that's up here is the way that we do that. If we look at what the Word tells us in Galatians 5:14, it is summed up, all of this stuff here that we just read off is summed up in this. For the whole law, all of these one another's, is fulfilled in one word, in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. Where does that begin? Where does loving your neighbor as yourself, where should it, at a bare minimum, begin? And if it doesn't begin there, it actually doesn't really exist. It's just a farce. And that's in your home. If you're not loving your neighbor that shares your bed, and you think you're loving your neighbor out in the world, and you're abiding in Christ by loving your neighbor out in the world, remember what I said last week, look at that abiding. Maybe that abiding is actually self-righteousness, and it's not abiding at all. Because if you're abiding with Christ in loving your neighbor as yourself, that needs to begin at home. It needs to begin at home. Now, there's a story that the thing that happened when we were on summer camp one year with the youth. My wife and I went, Patricia and I went with the youth on their summer retreat. It's about a week, and we got to go whitewater rafting while we were there. This is not a picture of our whitewater rafting, but if any of you have been whitewater rafting, it's a lot of fun and. You know, it's a great time to be able to sort of work together as a team and learn how to work together. And in this one particular occasion, after we had just come through like a big rapid, and everybody was all excited, and we came out into this sort of calm part of the water, and our raft was like half full of water, and there was this pause where there was kind of silence in the boat, and no one was saying anything. Everybody was just sort of happy that we'd gone through this rapid. And then out of nowhere, this one teenager girl just puts her oar down and bolts from her seat and throws herself across the raft and absolutely decks Patricia, like tackles her right off the boat and into the water. And there was like just stunned, like everyone was, it was probably one of the funnier things that's ever happened to me because it was so unexpected. I just sat there looking at it like, did that just happen? That was awesome. It was fantastic. So that's a funny story, but the sad thing is it actually brings to mind a reality that's not as funny. And the not as funny reality is that in most, put it this way, in most sociological situations, if you put pressure on a people group, whether that's a country or some other division of a people group, and you put pressure on them from the outside, an attack of some kind, what sociologically normally happens is those people, even if they've got their own internal divisions and those kinds of things, will put those divisions down for a time, bond together to face whatever is that attack that's coming. In most situations. Unfortunately, that's not the case in the marriage relationship. That's not the case in the marriage relationship. What happens, unfortunately, most of the time is that when a threat or a challenge comes, our tendency in marriage is to form a circular firing squad. Right? Well, all the guns get turned in and we end up shooting each other. If you want to look at this threat sort of like waves in the river that kind of can crash over your boat and begin to swamp your boat, and instead of us bonding together to bail out the boat, to right the ship, we start to push one another off the boat. We start to point fingers at each other, and our boat looks more like that. A couple of weeks ago, on a Monday, which is our day off, Patricia and I were trying to enjoy a day off, And I had a couple months back, had renewed or switched our cell phone service. Okay, so I normally don't touch this stuff. Like if it has to do with bills, if it has to do with anything that involves money, I try to stay as far away from it as I can because I'll just mess it up. And I know that, and so I don't even go there. Patricia handles all that. I'm terrible at math. She handles it. For whatever reason, I think in the spirit of Christmas, I got crazy, and I decided that I was going to handle switching from one cell phone carrier to another. And I was going to do this. And so I did it. Well, since then, it's been this ongoing thing of trying to clean up my mess and being overbilled, and the what they charged us, what they said we were going to charge us is completely different. It's just a mess, just an absolute mess. And so as this mess has been snowballing over time, the anxiety that I have about it has been building up. So I've been kind of beating up on myself and feeling like I shouldn't do this. I never mess with this stuff because I'm an idiot and I'll mess it up. And there it is, I messed it up. And at the same time, Patricia, because she's very focused in on the bills and the finances, she's like, hey, we need to take care of this. We need to get this going. Well, it all came to a head a couple Mondays ago. And we got an email with another bad billing statement from the company. And Patricia said, listen, this needs to be done today. So now, right, now I'm feeling a little bit under attack. My manhood is in question here because I've messed up something that I should be able to handle. And so I'm under stress. Then I get online to try to fix it, and I can't fix it because now the internet's not working at home. And so I can't even chat with the people online. And she's telling me over here, she's like, hey, are we going to get this resolved? We need to get this resolved. And I'm like, I'm trying to get this resolved, right? And this all of a sudden, this little tiny thing just escalated and escalated and escalated and escalated and turned out blowing up our entire day off. We had the worst day off we've had in a long time. I mean, absolutely blew it up to the point where we were like, not yelling because we're not yellers, but emotionally yelling at each other, okay? Really, really bad. Now, it's a trivial thing. It was a cell phone. It was a cell phone plan. But if you let that thing go, you could see where eventually it can end up. And if you have lots of little waves like that every day, every week, that don't get resolved, and that you turn the guns on each other every time one of those things come in, it doesn't lead to a good place. Now, praise God, His Spirit kind of prevailed in us and brought us back to a place where we could recognize each of our errors and ask for forgiveness and receive forgiveness. And so by Tuesday, we were okay. We had a nice little after-action report to this, you know, like, how did that happen? Why did I feel the way that I felt? You know, and it was good. It ended up being a good thing. And I think the next time a wave like that comes, we'll be the stronger for it. And there's always going to be a next time. The waves will not stop coming. Because honestly, that's part of what God is going to use to bring you guys into oneness. So how do we prevent ourselves from getting swamped and turning on each other and ending up looking like those guys there? God gives us a really good clue. If we can get my, there we go. Philippians 2:2. Make my joy complete by being of one mind, having the same love, being united in spirit and purpose. So we have a boat captain. We have to remind ourselves that we have a boat captain and we're not him. Okay? And our boat captain is sitting in the back, much like if you've been on a rafting trip, and they're shouting out the commands. They're like, okay, you guys row on this side, you guys stop rowing over there. And they're controlling things and they're giving the commands. And as long as you follow what they're saying, everything will work out fine and you'll get through the rapids just fine. And God is saying here, listen, make my joy complete. Be of one mind. Have the same love. Be united in spirit and in purpose. What does that mean? It means that your spouse is not your enemy. Stop trying to shove them out of the boat. Okay? How many times, this is just as an aside, those of you that have kids, it's a great moment to remember how our parent-child relationship with God is very much like our parent-child relationship with our kids. How many times have you sat around the kitchen table while the kids are going at each other? Like hollering, you know, bickering. about something that you think is absolute nonsense, kind of like a cell phone bill maybe, I don't know, right? And you've said, listen, would you just give me some peace, give me some joy by being united with each other? Just stop fighting, right? You can almost hear God's voice saying, like, would you just stop it, you two? It's an AT&T bill. Oh, I said AT&T bill. I wasn't going to mention the carrier. Darn it, I did it. This is something, if you've got a pen and you want to write this down and stick it in your wallet and pull it out of your wallet every time the waves start coming over the boat, it's this. We're in this boat together. We're in the boat together. Now, oh, I drew a picture. Wait, this is fantastic. Where do you see my artwork? You guys are going to be amazed. Are you ready? Oh, look at that. See, now, and if those of you that can't see, so thank you.
What is it?
Okay, so it's a boat, and there's some water, and there's some people in the boat, and there's you in the boat, and me in the boat, so you and your spouse in the boat, and then Jesus is in the boat. So remember, we're in the boat together. Here's us, we're in the boat. Keep that in your mind, all right? And so as you start to imagine the things, the waves coming into the boat, what kind of waves come into the boat? Right? There's job stress, like you could have the loss of a job. That could come into the boat. An AT&T bill could come into the boat, right? You know, finances can come in the boat. Our spouse's own weaknesses can come into the boat. Not mine, no. Thank you. You guys are so kind. You know, kid stress can come into the boat. Illness, right? Illness can come into the boat. All these things can come out, and there's more. You know, the housework can be over. Things going on at the house. Stuff breaking at home, right? If you own a home, stuff breaks. It's one of the joys of homeownership. That there's, yeah, right? So there's all kinds of home stress that comes in. There's job stress that comes in. There's kid stress that comes in. Some of these things, and this is the waves that are even harder to handle, is the wave that's caused by the sin of somebody else in the boat. So if somebody in the boat is, you know, has a bad work ethic, and that's the cause of the job stress, okay, that makes the wave even harder to handle. But it doesn't change the fact that we're in the boat together. God has put us in this boat together. So even when the sin of the spouse has caused the wave to come over the bow, it doesn't mean you push the spouse out of the boat. That you go back to that, restore one another gently. Right? That's one of the one another's. If someone is in sin, those of you who are not should restore that one gently, not shove them out of the boat. So I could go on with a bunch of these. So the first thing we need to remember is there's the two of us in a boat, and Jesus is in the boat. The next thing we need to keep in mind, and this is what we're going to start getting into a little bit more next week, is that there's somebody else, it's not really a person, in the boat, that we need to be careful. There's an enemy within the boat, and it's not Satan, although I'm sure he's the author of this. The other one in the boat with us that will sink the boat if we don't shine a big old light and pull it out and sit it on the boat deck and shine a big light on it is selfishness. And if you look at any of the fights, whether it's the AT&T bill fight or something about jobs or illness or anything else, any of these waves that cause you guys to start shoving each other out of the boat or whacking people with oars, right? If you dig down, not very far, you're going to find that the root of it is selfishness. I'm upset because my way of doing the bills has now been messed up, and right? You dig down, not very far, and it's selfishness is going to be underneath it all. But if we can pull that out and we can all recognize it, so then we say, hey, we're in this boat together. Let's set aside selfishness and resolve this together. Let's apply these one another's together. So our takeaway today is this. First of all, you are eternally brother and sister in Christ. You are eternally brother and sister in Christ. Your relationship can never be less than that. In marriage, it will be more than that, but that's a baseline. It can't be less. The one and others of Scripture are like the minimum basic for your relationship with each other, not an add-on. Marriage then has just amped that up to another level, but it can never be less than brother and sister in Christ. So how do we execute on that? Right? It sounds like work. We've got to do work. Well, yes, we work, but it's God who does His work in us. We obey God how? We obey by faith. God doesn't give us just the faith to believe. He gives us the faith to actively believe, which means to put into action the things that God is saying. We show God that we actively believe His Word when we do what His Word says. And so as a couple, as we stop and we say, we're in this boat together, let's look to the one another's, let's love our neighbor as ourself within this marriage. We are actively, we're actively believing God. So, next week, we are going to dig down into the nuts and bolts of some of these one another's, some particular ones that I think will go a long way and be critical in God's plan for the mixing of our waters and bringing us together into oneness. And I'm hoping that the discussion questions that we have today, that I'm putting up now, are going to help us sort of lay the groundwork for that discussion next week. So we have two questions, really. And before we get into those, I would just love to pray for you guys, pray for us, all of us. And if I could ask you guys to just be praying for Patricia, too. She's not here today because we think she might have a kidney stone. Yeah, so she's in a little bit of pain, curled up in a ball at home. So if you could just remember her in your prayers, too, that would be great. I'd appreciate it. Why don't we take it to the Lord? Father in heaven, thank you so much for this morning. That you've allowed us to gather here together, just to have fellowship with one another, to encourage and build one another up. Father, thank you for the reminder that the one another's of your word are for all of your children, not the least of which the children that are married to one another. And God, we just ask that you would help us to apply those truths in our marriage, and help us to obey by faith, believing that your grace gives us the power to obey your word. God, we ask for your blessing over our marriages this morning and our families. Just ask, God, that you would glorify yourself in and through them. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.